I love Dan. Let's be clear on that. We moved out here together and used to meet in this man's basement when wasn't no Valley Brook building, fellowship center. We had 12, 15 chairs in a basement in Tacoma Park. And that's where we started when we moved out here from Michigan. So I love him. He's a life partner with me. Wherever he goes, I'll probably be there with him. Till the day I die, till you see me up here in a casket. Because that's the decision we made when we moved out here. And that hasn't changed. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning for just having an opportunity to celebrate a great brother. Somebody that has done something with his life and done something to promote you. Has been the primary focus of his life. He ain't never changed, never went one way or the other, straight ahead. Always loving people, encouraging people. If we had an open mic, we would be here till this evening. All the stories and things and people he has affected. So thank you today just for an opportunity to share and reflect and say thank you for giving us a good teacher, a leader, a pastor, a husband, a father, or just a good brother. And bless us today as we share in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. If you're taking notes, the name of my 7-minute sermonette is called the B-side. The B-side. Okay? All right. Before there was live streaming, music services, digital downloads, Blu-ray players, DVDs, VHSs, Betamax players, audio cassettes, 8-tracks, or reel-to-reel, there was the almighty 45. Now, those of you that are born 1985 or later, a 45 is black. It's a little bit bigger than a CD player, and it, you know, so just reference for size. But there are a few interesting characteristics of the 45 I want to share with you. It was always 3 minutes long or less. This would allow radio DJs to play the top 20 songs in 1 hour. It only held 2 songs. The A-side hit, and the B-side music filler. The A-side was the song promoted by the record companies intended to receive radio airtime. The B-side was a secondary record, rarely as successful as the A-side. The B-side didn't receive any promotion and didn't receive any radio airtime. Examples of this would be the Temptations' first number one hit, My Girl, recorded in 1965, written by Smokey Robinson and Ron White. However, who in here besides maybe Pastor Dan, who won the music trivia game yesterday at the couples game day, know what the B-side was to My Girl? All right, that was it. See, not how are you going to, what is that? I never heard it. I don't know. Oh, it was called Talking About Nobody But My Baby. Yeah. And so, you know, we rarely remember the B-sides of songs. As we grow older and start to experience the body betrayal, memory loss, diabetes, cancer, arthritis, and high blood pressure, we often feel that we are on the B side of life, having more years behind us than ahead of us, feeling forgotten, frail, and not sure of our purpose on the B side of life. And then I remember I have you. Amen. I have God. And then I remember that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when they had Isaac. I remember Moses was 80 and his brother Aaron was 83 when they brought the Israelites out of bondage. I remember that the Apostle Paul, who wrote a large part of the New Testament, was well in his 60s and was being used by God to impact many generations to come. I remember those things. And then I remember, it's funny that you sung this, that somebody sung it or said something this morning. And then I remember the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6 that God is the one who began the good work in you. And I am certain that he won't stop before it is complete on the day that Jesus Christ returns. Now, I didn't know you was going to sing that or do that or any of that. That verse just was here. So, Pastor, I know I'm getting close to my 7 minutes now. On those days you wake up and feel less than pristine and you're having a B-side moment, remember that you still have Christ in your life and he can turn any B-side moment into an A-side hit. God bless you, brother.
I have a confession to make. Before I make my confession, I love you too, Dan. And I count myself richly blessed to be under your ministry. And the last 20 years that I've served as an elder with you has been abundant beyond measure. I really tried to do a 7-minute message, and I started over 4 times, and when I would do my message, I got carried away, and it'd be 30 minutes or 40 minutes, and it's not fair, right? So I'm going to read my message and not go rogue. And we'll be... Okay. And then I remember I have you. And then I remember I have you. And it could also be I remember you have me. And I want to speak to that part of that story. When he asked us, the ones of us who are speaking today, to consider his sermon of this title, I immediately was reminded of a reasonably familiar story in Genesis. It comes from chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, and chapter 21, verses 1 to 21. And the first time I was doing it, I was planning to read that, you know, but it would take more than 7 minutes just to read it and not make any comments. So I'm not going to read any of it. But it's 16, 1 to 16, and 21, 1 to 21. And that's the story of Hagar and her role in the Abraham story. And it is a story of God's grace in the midst of human sin that, and his blessing on a situation that looks really ugly. Have you ever made a decision? You know, you've wrestled with it, and you've come to a decision, and you think it is God, this is what God wants me to do, and I make that decision, and it turns out to be a disaster. And, you know, I'm not going to ask you guys to raise your hand, but that's happened to me several times. And in my journey, I'm not talking about before I knew Christ. I'm talking about when I'm walking with Christ. And that's what this story is about. This was the case of Hagar, Sarah's servant. She was kind of forced into marriage with Abraham and to sleep with him and to get pregnant, because it was Sarah's great idea that, you know, maybe we've waited 10 years, Abraham, and it's, you know, maybe the way that God's going to fulfill his promise is through Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her and we'll have a family that way? And Abraham, the man of faith, said, okay. So the result of that was a son named Ishmael. And even though it was a mess, it was also the will of God. One thing that happened is that when Hagar knew that she was pregnant, she despised Sarah. It says in the scripture. And another translation of that is she had contempt for her. Hagar was, I don't know if she was happy about being pregnant or mad, but she lorded it over her master, her mistress. The person that she was supposed to serve, she antagonized. And the consequence of that is that Sarah asked Abraham, well, she didn't ask it. Right? She says that it's your fault that this is happening. What are you going to do about it? And he said, well, she's your servant. What are you going to do about it? And Sarah got real mean. She got so mean that Hagar decided that it would be better to live in the desert than to stay where she was. And so she ran away. Now, she had a bad attitude, right? I mean, but she was a victim and she was also making victims. She felt alone, rejected, guilty. You might know that place. I've known that place. But in that place, the angel of the Lord called her by name. Then I remembered, I have you. Then I remembered, you have me. He engaged her in dialogue. You know, theologians don't know what the angel of the Lord is. It's not, most likely it's not an angel. The angel of the Lord speaks as if he's God. I mean, he says, I'm going to make this happen. And so we don't really know, except that it was the Lord speaking to her. And he called her by name. He engaged her in dialogue. He instructed her to return to Sarah and Abraham, and he promised abundant blessings on the boy child that she was carrying. It's pretty amazing if you go back and read it. I mean, you know, we know very well about the promises for Isaac and what God was going to do through him, but God made incredible promises to Hagar about Ishmael. He also promised that Ishmael would not get along with anybody and that his sons wouldn't get along with each other. And there's an interesting testimony. Hagar gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. Hagar was, she wasn't really part of Abraham and his, you know, spiritual journey. She was an outsider. But at this place, she called God, the God who sees me, the God who knows me, the God who loves me, the God who accepts me. Then I remember, I have you, and you have me. And that is what, right in the scripture says, that's why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. No, it's interesting, about 15 chapters later, Isaac is a man and he's living his his life. And he goes to this well, Beer Lahai Roi. We read that in our Bible, and it, you know, that sounds strange and all, and we read it. But for those people, when they went to it, the name of it was the Living One Who Sees Me. The Living One. 50 years later, it's the Living One Who Sees Me. A wonderful testimony. In Genesis chapter 20, Hagar goes back and lives with Abraham and Sarah, and that lasts for like 14 years. It's incredible to me that there would be that much reconciliation that they'd be able to live together, because it didn't seem humanly possible. But when God fulfills his promise to Abraham and Sarah, and she's pregnant, as Michael said, 90 years old, right? Or maybe 80 years old. 90 years old. Let me get my thought. So Isaac is in the picture. He's a little infant. And Sarah observes Ishmael despising her son. And, you know, she, I think, recognized in Ishmael the same kind of contempt that she had experienced from Hagar. And she says to Abraham, I'm having none of it. Get rid of him. He's not going to share an inheritance with my son Isaac. And so Abraham sent him away with one day's provisions into the desert. And the angel of the Lord met her again and promised that he would take care of her and that Ishmael would be blessed. So I want to end with a couple verses from 2 Corinthians. Trying to stick to my short time. I'm going to read only one verse, but I would encourage you to look at this in your, you know, sometime this week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From 11 to the end of the chapter, which is about the ministry of reconciliation. And in the last verse, 21, or just before that, Paul makes his appeal, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I remember, you have me. Okay.
Praise the Lord. God is good. I was going to tease you all by having a stack of papers here as my notes. And, you know, one of the, you know, I just love Pastor Dan. And, you know, yesterday I was trying to find something to wear, and the lady at the store, she says, oh, that's a really nice dress. Is that for Easter? I said, no, it's for my pastor's anniversary. It's a big celebration. And because I am just celebrate what God has done in placing me personally under his ministry, and as our wonderful first lady always says, our under shepherd. I love how she says that to him, you know, about him. But you know, one of the ways the joy of the Lord shows up in Pastor is he likes to tease. And you know, I thought about this is a tease, you know, expecting us to talk about the unsearchable riches in 7 minutes. But praise the Lord, you know, God is good. And the task before us, and to remember that epic message, and then I remember I have you. And then I remember I have you. And what we have is an open invitation. Each one of us, we have an open invitation from God himself. And that the verse that was read in that message came from Lamentations. It says, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." So even when there is seemingly all evidence to the contrary, I have you. This passage from Lamentations, you know, the fact that this passage is in a book called Lamentations. And, you know, if you haven't gone through Lamentations, just read that, just that chapter. All kinds of stuff is, I mean, and in the middle of this, yet this I call to mind. I mean, every calamity. And, you know, we're experiencing, you know, some days it's like, really, 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 Lord? Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And, you know, his great love for us, that is just what I want to talk about for a minute. Because of his great love for us. And, you know, the Pharisees, they asked Jesus, they said, "So what's the greatest commandment? What's the biggest one?" And Jesus said, and this is from Mark 12, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And, you know, we don't have time to go and look at that passage, but Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6. And in that passage, in that chapter, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Jesus, you know, God lays them down, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. And then after he's laid out the Ten Commandments, I'm just going to read real quick. He says this, and, you know, the Lord, he just talking to his people Israel. He says, "The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me," this is Moses talking, "I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them." So after he, you know, laid out all the commands, you hear the heart of God. So, you know, in all this command, only God would make the command love. And as I read it, I realize it's more of an invitation than a command. It's an invitation that he has given us. He says, "Incline." Oh, that they would be inclined. And inclined, you know, like definition says, feel willing or favorably disposed toward. He says, if only they would want to love me. It's all about love with him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to fall completely in love with him. He made love the commandment and the only measuring stick. From the Old Testament to the New, love is not only a commandment, but an invitation. It's about you and me. God says, "I know that I love you, and guess what? I want you to love me right back." And when I read that summation of his commands, "I want you to love me with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength," he doesn't want just rote obedience. He wants us to actually love him for who he is with all our passion, all that we know in our mind, in our reason. When, you know, he wants it to be reasonable that we love him, not just that thou shalt love me. He says, no, what I want for you is your heart, your soul, your mind. So he's winning us. To, you know, our circumstances is an opportunity. It's an invitation from the Lord to show us himself in those situations. It's an invitation. And so, you know, when I start my day, I said, Lord, I want to see you today, Lord. Show me who you are. And, you know, that's been, I've been kind of taking notes on who the Lord is. And as I read through, you know, Jesus's, the way he approaches situations, I said, Lord, so what is this all about, Lord Jesus? Tell me about this. What are you trying to do here? And, you know, the Lord is opening up himself to me. It's like, wow, I am falling in love with you, Lord. I love your response to that woman, Lord. That woman that if in the act, right? So just 1 minute here. And so in the act, they bring her to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he's writing on the ground. And, you know, there's a lot of suppositions about what he could have been writing. But one of the things I was thinking he might be thinking is, so why does that surprise you that she was caught in the act? Why is that so surprising? Because he's like, he knows what is in man. You know what is in yourself. Why is that surprising? That's why I came. That's why I'm here. That's why I took on this flesh. It's no surprise to me. You know? Can't surprise him. Nothing that, you know, about us, none of our failings, our doubt in that passage from the message. And then I remember he talked about, you know, some doubt it. Jesus, he welcomes our doubt. He says, okay, it's okay. You have doubt? Come to me. Let me handle your doubt. Talk to me about your doubt. There is nothing off limits. When I remember that it's an open invitation. Everything about us is an open invitation to him. So he knows exactly what will cause us to fall completely in love with him. And Pastor Dan, it's been thrilling to see you live out this love affair with Jesus. Some synonyms for affair is incident, happening, occurrence, interlude, circumstance, set of circumstances, adventure. And, you know, you are living this out. You have a relationship, your love affair with the Lord. When you talk about how you walk, when you go on your walks with him, and it turns into hours, he has an invitation for all of us. That's his invitation to all of us to experience this love affair with him. He actually wants us to choose and have good reasons for loving him. So it's not about the command. It's an invitation. And, you know, I love books about the Lord, and I love the devotions. You know, they're so wonderful and they speak to me. But we can go to the source ourselves, and God will be writing that stuff in our experience, won't he? Yes. You know, so, you know, we experience him, the Lord is writing that through each and every one of us. So, you know, he's all about us. So as you, Pastor, continue this intrigue with our Lord, he wants you to know that if you never preach another sermon, pray another prayer, visit another sick, write another view, it's okay. He's all about you. see this? All right. First of all, how do you follow that? Then I remember I have you. Okay. First things first. Set my timer. I wanna first show everybody this, how much that message meant to me. I listened to it in my truck on the DVD about 10 times. This is how much that message meant to me. And then I remember, I have you. I actually wrote it in my Bible, so I will never forget. I want to start with Pastor Appreciation Day. And look at my notes and my, so I want to laugh about that. Pastor, the word says, ask and it will be given unto you. And I truly believe that you are a living example of asking the Lord for more of him, and he gives it. Because you have asked, and he has given, you have received. And the reason I say this is because I see everyone out here that it's been given to. It's not given to you and you withhold it. It's given to you and you share it. Bigger than money, bigger than any other gifts, that gift, the gift of Jesus, has been given through you. We know it all comes from the Lord Jesus. We know that. But he gives servants like you to give it to everyone else. And it's in that that I am so thankful that I have met you. I have been called here to Valley Brook by chance, so to say. And just to be here in the fellowship with you and to have been able to myself to call you my friend, I'm so blessed. That actually isn't even anything I wrote. I actually wanted to share that you are like an orchestra leader to me. You can stand there and hold your sticks and preach, but you don't hold them like this at us. You hold them up here pointing to the Lord. That's where your hands are pointed always. I don't see your eyes anywhere else. I see your eyes directed to the Lord, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the Lord for that in you. Then I remember I have you. My wife, Patty, passed away almost 11 years ago. And I remember sitting in the cemetery with the door to my truck open, my nose running, my eyes weeping, sobbing like a fool. And then I remember, I have you. I remember being an alcoholic. And this is going to be a little rough on the edges. I remember being an alcoholic and being so drunk several nights that I was sick in my sleep in the middle of the night. A lot of people may not know. That's how most alcoholics and drug addicts die. The second time that that happened, I got out of bed that morning and I fell to my knees and I prayed and I asked God to take alcohol from me. And then I remember, I have you. And he did. Now, I'm not going to share anything else of trials and tribulations, of my foolishness. The Lord gave me a business, and he has blessed me abundantly. He flourishes in my life, and then I remember I have you. I don't just remember you when I need you. I don't just remember you when it's about something going bad. I remember you because you have blessed me. I remember you because you have called me to this place. I remember you because of who I was and who you have made me. I always give the Lord thanks for everything he does in my life.
The thing I am most thankful for in my life, obviously other than the salvation of Jesus Christ, the thing that I am most thankful for is the personal relationship that he has given me with himself. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm selfish. I know he's everybody's Savior, but he is my personal Savior. He is my Lord and my God. And I remember that I have him because he has saved me. He has forgiven my sins. And you know, when I tell you, when I hug you and I tell you that I love you and that I appreciate each one of you, I truly mean it because I know that the Lord has hugged me and the Lord has blessed me. And every one of y'all's testimonies and shares and witnesses are just incredible to me, because not because of what you're doing or saying, although that is the Lord showing it through you, but it's because of what the Lord is showing through you. And every one of us here at Valley Brook, and I know we're not the only church out there, but this is the church. And I just want to tell you, I am dearly thankful for you, Brother Dan Beatty and Miss Laverne. I am thankful and honored that you asked me to speak. And if you want to see a living miracle, all you have to do is look at me. Not because of me, because of what the Lord is doing in me. Amen. Thank you, everyone.